Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Let me tell you, I give to my children. Man, I discipline my children. Man, I challenge my children. Boy, look what all we've done for our children. Our children know that I love them because all I have given and all I have done. If you are to be a successful parent, we must heed what I have called the first commandment of parenting. It is, thou shalt love your children.
The truth is, being loved is one of the greatest needs of every child. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares a message called Thou Shalt Love Your Children about how to leave a legacy of love to your kids. So stay right there. The Winning Walk is coming right up. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Love Your Children.
We've had two sermons of introduction on the family. We talked about a dysfunctional family. We talked about a functional family. Now this morning, we begin what I have called the first of the 10 commandments of parenting. Now an interesting thing is happening. Some of the empty nesters, I'm in that category, who now have grandchildren, or some who have never married, or some singles, or some teenagers, all of us in this study of parenting have been able to look back and determine what kind of job our fathers and mothers did. And a challenge to us to step up and be the kind of parents that God would have us to be if that blessing is presented to us. So this has been an interesting study. We've looked back at our childhood, and we've learned from that, and therefore we are able to understand better who we are and where we are and what we're about. And some of those deadly little things that still crop up in your life and in my life. And this helps the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ to do a healing ministry in the lives of all of us as we study parenting. Our scripture this morning is found in Genesis, but I'm going to read in Psalms, first of all. Psalm 127, the first part of verse 1, and then I'll read verse 3 through verse 5. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Verse 3 following. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, that's children. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Let's bow and prepare for the teaching of His word. Father, we're overwhelmed with the blessings on this body of faith, this church, this ecclesia. Father, may we be found faithful, especially during these challenging days when you've given us so much and we've taken so many steps of faith. May we be found faithful with the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, we know you'll pour out more blessings as we reach out to you and we're obedient to you. Lord, we walk around in some dangerous territory when we deal with marriage and family and relationships. It is my prayer that your word and your principles may be heard and received and understood. Let me get out of the way, Father. You speak to us. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine that you would walk in our sanctuary and you would take a seat because you were going to a memorial service. And as you were seated, you would see the casket would be down front. It would be open. You'd see people come by and look in and stop and pause and whisper to one another, and some were crying, and they'd go and they were seated. In a little bit, the organist began to play, and the funeral directors came in and they prepared the casket and they closed the lid that last time. And then people began to come in, and finally, the pastors came in and they went to the podium and they asked that everyone would stand and you would stand with the group and the family would come in to be seated in the family section. And as the family was coming in, you were absolutely shocked, amazed. That's your family. Those are your special friends seated there. And suddenly, you were shocked and startled to realize that you were attending your own funeral. Everyone was asked to be seated. A soloist had a number. The pastor stood up, read some scripture, made some generic comments about you. And then he said, "We're going to do an unusual thing. The children are going to speak a word about this loved one." You were seated back there, not missing a note or a word as your children went to the platform. You could hardly wait to hear what they would say about you as a parent. In fact, what they would say and what they would remember about you would determine whether or not you had been a success as a parent. Pretty good barometer, wouldn't you say? A sobering dream, a sobering thing to imagine, wouldn't you say? Now forget that for just a moment. If you are to be a successful parent, if we are to get on with the task of being parents, we must heed what I have called the first commandment of parenting. It is, "Thou shalt love your children." Now, somebody in the back balcony might say, "Boy, that's an easy one. I thought we were going to be challenged today." Love your children. Let me tell you, I give to my children. Man, I discipline my children. Man, I challenge my children. Man, I brought them in this world. I put clothes on their back. Boy, look what all we've done for our children. Our children know that I love them because all I have given and all I have done, all I have been involved in their lives, oh, I love my children. In fact, it's very, very rare to find a mother or father who'll stand up and say, I just don't love my children. You just hardly ever hear that. And all the parents who are here would say, this is not for me. I love my children. But yet, we have all been children. And our mothers and our dads would have said exactly the same thing, wouldn't they? But we know as children, in many ways, we did not receive, we did not get the kind of love that we needed and we would have loved to have received. Right? So what does it mean to love your children? Thou shalt love your children. What is involved in that? I think we can look at a biblical example and see parents, Abraham and his wife Sarah, and we can see clearly that they really love their son Isaac in exactly the way that we are to love if we are to be successful, and I would say biblical parents. And it may be a little different than what we would have thought or would have guessed. Now, if you know anything about the Bible story of Abraham and Sarah, you know how long they anticipated the birth of a child. In fact, God promised them over and over again, you're going to have a son, but not just any son, but a very special son. And you read in Genesis chapter number 13, God is talking to Abram. And he says in verse 5 of Genesis 13, for all the land which you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also can be numbered. And we don't know exactly Abram's age when this promise was made. He was perhaps 50 some odd. And he said, well, you know, I'm still a young man. That's okay. And then perhaps he was about 70. Still, he had no children by his wife, Sarah. And God makes another promise to him. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, reading in verse 5, God is saying, and he took him, Abram, outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars. If you're able to count them, he said to them, so shall your descendants be. In other words, your descendants, Abram, will be more than the stars in the sky. He made that promise to him. He was perhaps 75. And Abram must have said, Lord, you know, it's about time. Don't you think that Sarah and I had our, you know, at least our first son? And then I want you to see something else. Look at verse 17. Abraham here, the Bible tells us, was 99 years old. And God speaks to him again. And it says, and Abram, verse 3, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, by the way, that's a good way to speak with God, just fall flat on your face, isn't it? If you've never prayed flat on your face, I don't know if you've really prayed. God can do business with us when we're flat on our face. Anyway. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. This is God speaking. And you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram. Abram means esteemed father. But your name shall be Abraham. Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. The word Abraham means father of multitudes. And he's 99 years old, and he and Sarah had yet to have their first child. Can't you imagine old Abraham going in the marketplace and meeting some individuals, and they'd said, well, what is your name, sir? He said, my name is Abraham. He said, well, they told us your name was Abram. He said, no, God met with me yesterday and wanted me to call myself Abraham, father of multitudes. And the stranger would say, well, Abraham, how many children do you have? Zero. Oh, yeah. And they said, well, the old guy is slipping a little bit. You know, he looks good, but, you know, he says God told him to change his name from Abram, esteemed man, esteemed father, to Abraham, father of multitude, and hadn't had his first kid yet. Does that sound ridiculous to anybody here? God made these promises through the years, and perhaps through about 60 years. It's been 25 years since Abraham left Haran, and those silent years he was there, 60 years, God says, I'm going to give you many descendants. You're going to be the father of multitudes. You're going to be a special relationship with me, and no children, and he's 99 years old, and Sarah, his wife, is 90 years old. But look what happens. It is really something. It is supernatural. Chapter 21 of Genesis. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. She got pregnant. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. Isaac means laughter, because when Abraham came home and said, God told me you're going to be pregnant, she's 90 years old, she began to laugh. I identify with Sarah. So they named their boy Isaac, laughter. Verse 4 is a significant verse on parenting. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. That's the first thing Abraham and Sarah did in order to express love for this supernatural son, Isaac, was they had him circumcised. Now, at this point, he gave his child, those parents gave their child an identity. The first thing we have to do, parents, is to give our sons and daughters an identity. And that's what circumcision is all about. We don't talk much about circumcision today. I guess we're a little modest about it. We know it's a part, generally, of hygiene and cleanliness, and it takes place usually now when male children are born, but it says a great deal about parenting. Now, in antiquity, circumcision was done all the time for many different reasons. Sometimes it was the foreskin was sacrificed to fertility gods. Sometimes it was a symbol that a part of someone was given that represented the whole. Sometimes it was an initiation into a tribe or an initiation into a nation. But we know exactly what circumcision was in those biblical days. It was a sign of the covenant. God said to Abraham, you be circumcised, and this will be a mark that you are in a covenant relationship with me. And therefore, God's peculiar people, the Jews, were called out to be the redemptive agents for all the world. And Abraham was set aside, and therefore he circumcised Isaac, and he was saying to Isaac, you have an identity. You are a part of a special family, the family of God in a unique way. Parents, we have to give our sons and daughters an identity. And we do that. Someone will be introduced to you and they'll say, well, that's Bill's son. Well, if we know something about Bill, that says a lot, for better or for worse. Oh, that's Mary's daughter. If we know something about Mary, we look at that daughter, and that daughter has to live up to that mom or has to overcome the inheritance that mom has left behind, right? We put people in categories. We give them an identity. And the important thing, parents, we must give our sons and daughter an identity that gives them a sense of authenticity. Now, what does that mean? A sense that they're real. Now, let me tell you something. Children will break your rules and they will break your heart. Right? Sure. How do we handle it? If we give them a sense of authenticity, we handle it by, first of all, getting in touch with their feelings. Have you ever had your kids say to you, "You just don't understand"? Red lights ought to go off on your dashboard of your computer in your mind and say, if my son or my daughter doesn't think I understand, it means I haven't listened enough, I haven't gotten in touch with their feelings enough. Now, we have those parental lines. You've made your bed, you've got to lie in it. I know no one has ever said that. Now, you've gotten yourself into this mess, and nothing I can do about it. I know we've never said anything like that. But the bottom line, if we are to give them authenticity, we have to be in touch with their feelings. And the scripture for that is James 1:19. How we need to write that verse on our hearts in every relationship, especially in the relationship with our children. James 1:19, what does it say to us? We are to be quick to listen. We are to be slow to speak. And we are to be slow to get angry, to get mad, and to lose our temper. And most of us are 180 degrees from that scripture. If you're going to give your children a sense of authenticity, that they're real, that they're valuable, that they're precious, you'll listen to them. They'll break your heart, they'll break your rules, but you get in on their feeling. Let me tell you something. What was attractive about Jesus Christ? Was it his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount? To a degree. Was the fact that he could perform miracles? Oh, that's a big deal.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Ephesians 1:4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Do you remember how, when you played games as kids, you'd pick up the two best players to be captains of the teams? Then they would choose players for their teams. We would call out, "Choose me, choose me." And it was a wonderful feeling to be chosen. The Bible says that God the Father has chosen you and chosen me before the world was created. Think about that. You were selected by God to be in his family. Ephesians says not only were we chosen by God before creation, before time, but he chose us while we were yet not very good players. In fact, we were terrible players. Who would want us on his team? But he chose us, and he put us on his team anyway while we were yet sinners. Thank him that he selected you and selected me, and that he works in us to make us into what he designed us to become.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today. Join us next week as Dr. Young shares more proven truth about the power of love in your kids' lives. That's Monday on The Winning Walk. Have a great weekend.